Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Right now, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, writes for Forbes.com as well as BobAgainFootball.com. He is Rob Reichel, joins us seemingly every week during the football season. Rob, appreciate the time, man.
Oh, always a pleasure. How are you, Billy?
Fantastic, buddy. And wanted to get you on primarily because of what we saw you write up on Twitter and then write up on Forbes yesterday discussing the possibility with two first-round picks for the Green Bay Packers. You highlight a guy that I really like at the quarterback position, Daniel Jones out of Duke, as a possible candidate for the Packers if they are looking at the similarities between situations when you moved on from Brett Favre, 35-year-old quarterback, new regime, feels very similar here in 2019.
Yeah, the parallels are pretty eerie, Bill. I mean, it certainly doesn't mean they're going to take a quarterback, but, you know, in April of 05, Favre was 35. His general manager, Ted Thompson, had been on the job three and a half months. Mike Sherman was obviously still the head coach, but heading into his last season. You kind of fast forward to now, guys. Aaron Rodgers, who was the quarterback taken in 2005 as a 21-year-old kid, is now 35, the exact same age that Favre was when they went and found his eventual replacement. Matt LaFleur has been on the job three and a half months. You've got a general manager in Brian Gutekunst who's been there 15, 16 months. And Daniel Jones, ironically, Schmitty would be 21 if you wound up taking a guy like that. It's always, you know, it benefited teams across the league, guys, to have forward-thinking, a look-ahead approach to the most important position on the field in terms of the quarterback. You know, I'm not saying by any means they're going to take a quarterback. I found all those parallels kind of striking and kind of eerie, Bill. And, you know, obviously Thompson took a lot of heat, and he took a lot of heat from Mike Sherman, too, for taking Aaron Rodgers when he did back in 2005. I mean, Sherman thought Thompson was setting him up to fail at that particular time. They had far greater needs than taking Aaron Rodgers, but it set the franchise up, guys, for another decade of success. And my whole point there was if the right guy falls to 30, if the right guy might even fall to 12, the timing might not be bad to go ahead and grab your quarterback of, you know, the 2020s.
Yeah, Rob, we had an unfortunate death in the family. Forrest Gregg, Gears coach, and it just seemed like it was just obviously these kind of things catch you by surprise. Do you have any Forrest Gregg memories that you can share?
You know, he was around before me. Or my time in terms of covering the team, Leroy. I certainly watched him as a kid, and I'd say my greatest recollections would just be, you know, that he took that whole Packer-Bear rivalry almost to another level. In the 80s. It's so different now. It's nothing like it was then. I mean, guys now are pals, and they share the same agents and things like that, and they hobnob in the off seasons and stuff. But, I mean, in a couple of the different books I've done, guys, I certainly talked to enough people about Forrest Gregg. I forget exactly where I ranked him in the one book where I list the top 100 Packers of all time. But that was always the one consistent theme that kept coming up, is just how much he hated Ditka, how much he hated the Bears, how much that rivalry meant to him, and how much he made that point to his players and to his teams, that This is Auburn, Alabama. This is Duke, North Carolina. I mean, this is Packers, Bears, and Michigan, Ohio State. And I'm not sure, guys, it's quite like that anymore. But, boy, it sure was under Forrest Gregg.
Hey, let's get back to the Packers now. You saw the article that Tyler Dunn wrote, and I think maybe Martin Murphy's came out and tried to quell some of the fire there. What's your thoughts on that article?
Well, you know me well enough, Gary. I mean, I'm kind of an old school journalist.
Yes,
guy,
you are.
And,
yes, you are.
You know, kind of.
Are your thoughts on Tyler Dunn as well?
No, Tyler's as good as we have in our business. Tyler's not the kind of guy to throw nonsense at the wall and hope a little bit if it sticks. I mean, if Tyler's putting something out there, Tyler has it once, twice, more than once or twice. He has it 3, 4, 5 times from various people. You know, the response from Rogers, the response from Murphy, even Mike McCarthy, you know, getting various people to talk about him not getting a massage. To me, that was all predictable. What else are they going to say? At that point in time, I thought Rogers was a little bit over the top, and I, you know, in terms of calling it a smear campaign, I think that's the last thing in the world it was. I think it was a terrific story about why that particular group of Packers for about a 7, 8, 9 year window only won one Super Bowl, and it wound up breaking down the dysfunction between the quarterback and the head coach. I think better than anybody on the beat and anybody who's written about these guys. Has done. I think a lot of these stories, guys like myself and Mike Clements and you, Gary, and Leroy have heard, and we know some of these things, and at various times I've written about stuff like this, but I think Tyler having 4 months to do nothing other than this story just kind of took it to another level, and I think the organization now, Gary, is kind of at a crossroads. Can they get Aaron Rodgers to buy in and accept coaching at 35 years old? From a guy who's 4 years older than him, because if they can't, then you're going to have another 3, 4 years of wasted football in Green Bay before you move on to the next quarterback.
Now, you say this is very similar to Brett Favre at the end when, do I want to retire? Do I not want to retire? Do I want to retire? Do I not? Can you come and get me? Send a plane, blah, blah, blah. Is this similar into that with Rodgers, I guess, with everything being unsettled?
Well, it's a different type of drama.
It's drama.
Certainly a good deal of drama, yeah. Though, you know, Gary. I mean, Brett's was more, you know, almost self-induced in terms of putting the spotlight on himself year after year. I think Brett craved somebody to come to him every particular offseason and almost beg him to come back. You know, Aaron's is so different in terms of it just, you know, and the story, I think, was terrific in terms of taking it to another level, just kind of explained and put out there for so many people just how tough he is as a teammate and just how he didn't take coaching well and almost how he's a don, a mafia boss on some levels, guys. You know, you don't do it my way, you're not going to see the football. You know, that was never Brett Favre. Brett Favre's drama was again, oh, am I coming back or not? And I need a hug, and I need you to love me a little bit for me to come on back. Aaron's is more, you know, just he's just I think a difficult guy as a teammate and a difficult guy for a lot of people to be around. And I think when certain guys get out of Green Bay, Gary, and they don't have a huge problem expressing that. Some are a little bit more afraid to put their name on it because they've seen what happened to guys like Finley and Jennings and people like that, but it is a consistent theme, you know, that you hear over and over from various guys. Whether or not they do want to put their name on it is a whole nother story, though.
Talking with Rob Reichel here on the Wendy's Big Show of Forbes.com and Bob McGinn Football.com. Rob, when you look at where the Packers can go with these two picks in the first round, the last time they had these two picks in the first round, both of those guys allow you within a year's time to be competing in one of the biggest spots that your franchise had been, and then ultimately lead you into a Super Bowl. What type of impact players, and more importantly, at what positions do you believe right now the Packers would need these two first-round picks to be at to get them into the similar spot that those two had the impact of the last time they had two first-round picks?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. They hit home runs on those two guys, and you know, they got themselves a couple of Pro Bowl players when they took Raji at 9 and then Clay at 26 in 09. The odds of that aren't great to hit, you know, to hit it with really two Pro Bowlers, and Clay will be in the Packer Hall of Fame one day. As you look at them right now, though, I mean, I really think they need a difference maker, guys, in the receiving position on offense, whether that's a guy like Hockenson, a tight end, whether that's a little bit deeper and where maybe they can find a slot-wide receiver, you know, guys maybe down there at 30 like A.J. Brown out of Mississippi or somebody like that. But they had fewer weapons in the passing game last year, I think, than any of us can remember, probably back to, what, the Bill Schrader late 90s years. I mean, they're just – it was Davante Adams and a whole lot of nothing. And I know they have a great deal of belief and faith that these young second-year wide receivers are going to come on, at least one or two of them. But, guys, I think they need a difference maker at wide receiver. They haven't taken a first-round wide receiver since Javon Walker in 03. They haven't taken a first-round tight end since Bubba Franks. That was either 0 or 01. I forget the exact year. But they really do need another weapon, I think, for Aaron. And then, guys, they could go a lot of different directions on defense. I think they desperately need a second safety now to pair with Amos, who they took in free agency. They could probably buy another year out of Tremont Williams, but I don't think that's ideal. But at the same point in time, guys, this is an all-time defensive line draft. This is a legendary defensive line draft where it's the best in a quarter century, and they can probably get a real difference maker and a playmaker up there at 12. So, guys, if they could find another difference maker on each side of the ball, they're probably back in the postseason. I don't think it's a Super Bowl roster. I think they're another year or two away from that. But with what they did in free agency, guys, and if they can really hit it on both those draft picks, I think they can become relevant again pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think real quick, I think they like that Oklahoma receiver to put him in the slot, because I think if not, they're going to try Davante Adams in the slot. But I want to go to running back real quick. It's a position that not a lot of people have been talking about. Not. Trust me, not the first couple of rounds, but maybe in the third or fourth or fifth round, maybe pick up another running back that can kind of, you know, like a pass catching tight running back. And that guy has to be — the return game has suffered, Rob. I mean, Trevor Davis was supposed to be the guy, but no punt returner. I mean, Ty Montgomery at one point was your leading punt returner. They've gotten nowhere with that. So if they can get a slot guy or a running back to be the return guy to help these special teams, I think that'll help.
Yeah, they need a lot of help across the board on special teams, don't they, Roy?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know, and I assume, you know, with the 10 draft picks, I assume they're going to find four or five guys that they would hope become pretty consistent core guys, because, I mean, that what we saw last year out of the Packers special teams was probably the worst I've seen in my lifetime, guys. That was a huge top
of the air,
week in and week out. That was all-time, you know, dysfunction, and that was an absolute garbage show. But no, to your question, Roy, though, on running backs, you know, I was looking at this close over the last couple of weeks, and the kid out of Alabama, the Josh Jacobs kid.
Yep.
Again, I don't know that they can justify going running back in round one. They might be able to trade back and get him at some point in round two.
I like him.
A lot of people, Roy, are going to want that 30th pick because someone's going to want to jump up there for a quarterback. You know, that's where I kind of hinted today in my Forbes story that Daniel Jones would make some sense. And I do think Daniel Jones will go somewhere in that vicinity. If Green Bay doesn't use that pick on him, you know, somebody else will, or somebody else will trade up into that spot and steal that quarterback late in round one. That's been a consistent theme and pattern. But if Green Bay does want to really find a long-term pair, because I'm not quite as sold on Williams maybe to pair with Jones, but if they took a kid like Josh Jacobs out of Alabama, then Green Bay could have that thunder and lightning where they actually could run the ball, guys, let's say 45% of the snaps, which LaFleur probably wants to do. You probably extend Rodgers' career a couple more years and you tell him to fall in line with the offense and take what's given, and he actually does that, and you're running the ball, you know, to the level where you're a top 10 or top 12 rushing team in the league. That offense could become pretty good pretty quickly again, guys.
That's Rob Reichel of Forbes and of BobMcGinnFootball.com. And Rob, we'll plan on talking to you in a couple of weeks, and we'll have some names of some new Packers that'll be on the field for the team in 2019. Looking forward to it.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good weekend. Thanks
Robbie. Mm-hmm. And Rob Reichel joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.